Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Hello and welcome to the Gold Diggers podcast. I am hosting today, I'm Moyo, and I am with two great panelists. The first on my left being
Marva at Marva MSK
and Lauren at Lauren Coys.
Perfect. As I said, we're here for our WSL episode, and we've got a couple things that we want to touch on in today's episode. So, first things first, we're going to get into the Conti Cup games that happened midweek. So, there were four quarterfinal games that happened. Did you guys watch some of the games?
I was at the Spurs Chelsea.
Nice. So we might as well start with you, Lauren. What were your thoughts on the Spurs Chelsea game?
I expected to lose, obviously. I expect to lose every game we play against Chelsea, but we played better. I think our new signings, the first half, we gave Chelsea a good game. It was a mistake, the reason why we conceded in the first half. We actually went toe-to-toe, but I think, you know, the individual quality that Chelsea have, fitness levels, you know, we can be in the game and then 70 minutes, then your whole kind of game plan, you know, falls apart because I just can't sustain that. And when I saw Frank Kirby coming off the bench and we were taking off Iwobuchi at the same time, I was like, game over. I don't know, we play better considering the form that we have been in, especially before Christmas. We've been terrible. It looks as if a plan was coming together. Mm-hmm. I'm happy. Obviously, you don't like to lose. You go out of a cup. But equally, I think when you have to play one of the top four teams, you know you're going to lose, but it's how you lose. Mm-hmm. And I was happy with how we lost.
Nice. That's growth, I think we call it.
Also, the way Spence hit that shot, like, she was like, she
didn't want to be embarrassed.
Not terminating that contract, bro.
And to be honest, I think the last time I was on, I was like, I need to see more from her. But the last couple of games, I think what you said, she just needs better players around her. She actually is looking, you know, she's looking decent. So, yeah. It's a shame because our next game's against Chelsea, so the people will look at the result and think, oh, our Spurs are rubbish. But we are improving, but the level of that Chelsea play at is so high. It's always tough.
Marva, what do you think of Spurs, first of all, and what they're trying to do in cups? Like, what do you think, actually, of teams that haven't won cups yet? Mm-hmm. So when I say teams that haven't won cups, I mean like the Spurs, United, like those sorts of teams. Mm-hmm. What do you think about what they're trying to do in the Conti Cup and how well or not well they're doing it?
I think it's difficult because I think you can, unlike in men's football where you can think, we can go on a good cup run here. With women's football, because of that gap between the top three, four compared to the rest, you can say we're going to go on a good cup run and then you hit one of the top teams and
it's done.
It lasts
until you get one of those teams.
You know, it's kind of done. There was maybe even less of that a few years ago, actually. Whereas I think that gap now between, while it's got more competitive as a whole, as a league, the gap between the sort of top two even in top three compared to like compared to an Everton, compared to a Spurs, compared to a Villa, is such a big gap now. Yeah. And even to the point where, you know, they can play, Chelsea can play their second 11. That's still the stacked team.
Yeah.
maybe we'll start to see the decline of that slightly, like we've talked about with the kind of lessening of talent hoarding. But yeah, I think Spurs have got themselves in decent positions for the cup. More so, like given where they, you know, if you think about their history as a women's football club, it's so young. Early on.
Yeah.
Everton weren't in this stage, you know, this season. Like, it's, and you're playing Chelsea. It's like I was saying, as much as it might seem like a defeatist mentality of, oh, but we lost in a better way. Yeah. But it's the reality I'll say league, obviously it's not in the league, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think they can be doing that much more other than, it's just building that consistency in how they're playing. And I think with the transfers that they've made, you can see something building.
Mm-hmm.
As we said, when Beth England signed, cool, but who can make chances for her? Well, now you've got Manor.
Yeah.
That's someone who can make chances for you. Yeah. That's someone eager to prove. So give it a few years. You never know, that teams like Spurs, like West Ham, like Villa might start pushing these bigger teams in the one-off games. But right now, the one-off games don't really seem to do that much.
Sure. Yeah. And Lauren, you and I were speaking off air about like the format of the Conti Cup. And I feel like it ties in well with what Marvel was just saying. So in that sense, what do you think about the Conti Cup's format in the sense that, you know, teams that are in the Champions League don't do the group stages, number one. And also that if they don't do the group stages, it means that they potentially only have to play two games to get to the final. What are your thoughts on that?
The structure needs to be changed. I think there's nothing more disheartening than when you are in the group stage because you're not in the Champions League. You work hard, you win your group, and then as soon as the draw is made and you see you have Chelsea, you're just like, oh, well, our cup run was good. Let's move on. And I think it's not like we were talking about, for example, if you're doing Champions League, Europa League or whatever, where teams drop down, at least they were playing in a competition. Mm-hmm. I think having a bye because they can't play the number of group games because they're in the Champions League, I just think, well, then just make it complete knockout football, because it's disheartening to think that even if you don't get out of your group, and then a team that wins the competition, you didn't even have the potential to play that team. And because the top teams are so dominant, it's kind of like, oh, well, they cherry pick their way into the competition, play a couple of games and win a cup. Mm, and when you're a team that's trying hard, especially if you're a championship team as well, you know, it's kind of like, what's the point? It's kind of like some extra, it feels like extra preseason friendlies that you're doing to build match fitness before you just get knocked out by a big team. I don't like the structure at all.
I think as well, if they were forced to, because of their schedule, and it put them at a disadvantage, I think it'd make it more competitive.
Yeah,
if they're not going to risk their biggest players in a Conti Cup game.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good chance. I know I just said that obviously their B team is still stronger than a lot of our A teams, but even so, there's still more of a chance. If they're really not wanting to risk people because they've got a Champions League game coming up, great. Like, it might be more likely that they'll be knocked out. It's a bit more competitive. It makes it a bit more equal. Or don't include them. If they can't play, then don't include them at all. Don't just bring them in the late stage.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen because obviously you need the big names. Yeah. But that would also be quite insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that it'd make it more competitive. If they're going to struggle for schedule, then yeah, cool. Struggle for schedule. Let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, let's see how it works out for you. So following the Conti Cup fixtures, we now know that the two semi-finals are Arsenal versus Manchester City and then West Ham versus Chelsea. Now, I'm going to go to both of you and say who you think will be making it through to the final. For some context, Manchester City won last year's Conti Cup against Chelsea in the final. But yeah, let me know who you think is getting through to the semi-final first.
I mean, Chelsea... it's just they're in the final. They're in the final, they're winning it.
Chelsea fans have already bought their tickets
for the
final.
And then Arsenal versus Man City, and Arsenal at home for that game.
Mm.
It's such a tough one because I don't know where Arsenal are at right now. It's so hard to call it. Like, they could still win the league, but they also could just go on a decline currently. Yeah. I don't know where to call it with them. And also with City, they're obviously, as we've touched on this whole season, they're a bit in and out, but they also have that slight fight in them that Chelsea have, not to the same extent, but they've got the history of winning cups. Mm-hmm. They know what to do, like, to get through that. So I could see them. I think Arsenal are kind of favourites, but I think City could get through, just because it's like in the Conte Cup final last time. Everyone expected Chelsea.
Especially when they took the lead in that game, yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
It was Ellen White, so yeah. Yeah. I can't call her anymore. But I think City could do it.
And Lauren?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's Chelsea, you know, I feel sorry for West Ham. That was Spurs. We got to the semi-final last season. Then you're like, well, we've come as far as we can. I don't know. I just think Arsenal, they are at a knife edge where it just feels like, you know, the beginning of the end. They obviously haven't got Russo. Where are they going to get those goals?
They tried with that one.
Where are they going to get the goals from? You know, Bunny Shaw is in fantastic form. And when City click, they can knock Arsenal out of the competition. Mm-hmm. Will City click? I don't know. But then what form will Arsenal be in? I don't know. But it's hard. I'll go City.
Okay.
Maybe because I'm a Spurs fan. But I don't know. I think it's 50-50 going into that one.
And also for further context as well, so it's Arsenal versus City. That semi-final, I think, is on the Wednesday the 8th. And then they're playing each other in the league for the first time 3 days after, so the Saturday. But that's at City. Does that change any of your thoughts? Do you feel like both teams are going to go full strength, first of all?
I think so. I mean, whether Arsenal maybe not, to the same extent, just because this is obviously they're in a league title battle right now. Mm-hmm. But there's a good chance that they think that's kind of over anyway. And also, they don't really have the strength and depth really, unless they play their youngsters, which they obviously did in the FA Cup. But it's a bit of a different story against Leeds than it is against Man City.
Yeah,
I wouldn't expect, there might be a few little changes, but I wouldn't really expect there to be too many, unless they really just throw the Conte Cup. But I reckon if it's looking less likely that they win the league, they're going to want some trophies.
Yeah, and don't forget, Arsenal have got Chelsea in the next round of the FA Cup, so I don't think you can now throw away that potential of getting to a cup final. I think it feels very doom and gloom around Arsenal. So personally, I think, there aren't that many matches in the women's season. Mm-hmm. Play your strongest team both times and see what happens, because I think both teams need points in the league because City are still chasing Champions League football ultimately, even though they never seem to be able to qualify at the moment. And you know, Arsenal are in a title race, so I think you have to, but both teams need to win a cup because that's the expectation at those clubs. So I think they have to go strong both, but I don't think one team's winning both games.
Interesting. That is interesting, actually. I probably agree with you. I don't think one team is winning both games. I think it would be a win and a draw for somebody. I think it would be a win and a draw. Okay, so that is Conte Cup. FA Cup now. There weren't really any shock results. Bar one. And I looked at Marva there. Marva, what Everton doing in the FA Cup? Please let us know.
I don't think they care as much. I don't think it's where our priorities this season are. Mm-hmm. You saw it at the Conte Cup, completely crashed out. There wasn't that much change in the squad. I mean, we change in the sense that we change it around quite heavily anyway.
Sure.
Changed goalkeeper, but even between them, it's been a pretty even battle. I mean, Ramsey's been winning out for the last kind of the better part of the league, but before then it was pretty even. I don't know. It was also a game, to be fair. It was 1-0. We hit the post twice. We had a lot of good chances and it was just one of those. It just didn't come off on the day. Birmingham are a decent side, but it just seems like it's not really, their priority right now is in the league and to get us, which they're doing, to be fair. They're doing everything that we wanted in the league, which is beating the best of the rest, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I think one step at a time, baby steps. Last year we were talking about how bad we were and that if it was a normal league, we'd be in relegation. So to be where we are in the league at the moment, I think realistically, as we said about cups, we're not going to win a cup right now anyway. We don't have the talent to do it. So in the meantime, let's just focus. Yeah. It would, I think next year it would, you know, because we're not going to break again, we're not going to break into the top three. So I think...
Have hope, have faith.
Once we build on this, I think the aim for next year and the future years is to go on a good cup run. But for now, it's not the end of the world. It's a bit disappointing, but we're doing more than what I thought we would do in the league. So for now, I won't be too disappointed.
Okay. And United, I was going to say routine victory. It wasn't routine, but United won nonetheless. Thanks to two goals from Nikita Paris. And Tottenham, Lauren?
Yeah, happy. 5-0. The scoreline didn't reflect the game. I think London City Lionesses showed that they're ready to play in the WSL. Mm-hmm. In the first 10 minutes, I was on the edge of my seat. I was thinking, my goodness, we started this really badly. They were pressing high with intent. The physicality, really. I just thought, okay, wow. But yeah, we got the job done. I think we needed the game to build confidence.
Sorry, but if you're losing to Spurs 5-0, are you ready to play in the WSL?
tougher times are ahead.
Times are ahead, but equally, we now have Beth England. They're playing against international football.
Lauren, get real, man.
Nah, the thing is, they actually played very well. Yeah, it was
to
just
be fair, Brighton held 8-piece and
yeah.
And they're in the league, so
yeah, I'm not saying that they're going to be finishing fifth next season,
yeah,
but I think, you know, if they come up,
they'll get relegated again, but
they'll hold their own against the relegation,
yeah, right. Maybe right. If Leicester stayed up, then maybe there would be a who knows, but yeah, I don't know, job done. The new signings have started well. They've got themselves on the score sheet. We just looked a bit cohesive. Ash Neville was back after her suspension. It's good to see her get minutes. She hadn't played since before Christmas. Mm-hmm. Considering the run of games that we've got coming up, and we didn't get one of the big four sides in the next round, it was nice. We were singing in the crowd, Spurs on their way to Wembley.
Who did Spurs get in the next round, Lauren?
Reading, which I think... Yeah, we went strong in that we didn't really rotate at all. We were close enough to our starting 11 that we have available. I expect us to go strong again. I think our league form's been terrible. There's time to recover, but equally, because it feels that the way our schedule is, we know that we're not, you know, we're probably not going to win a league game in 6 months. So having the cup is a nice.
Have some faith, Lauren.
Do you expect to lose to Spurs on the big pitch?
Not United.
Do you expect us to beat Chelsea?
Who else you got?
And Manchester City.
Boy.
Yeah, something else.
All right, sorry. Yeah, just look forward to the cup.
Exactly. So it's nice to have something to look forward to.
I'm saying that now. That's how United will turn around and just disgrace me. I know. And United in the next round have Durham. Some people will say that's light work, but we actually had them in our Conti Cup group. And we didn't beat them, so boy. And one interesting draw was that, as you said, Arsenal versus Chelsea, fifth round, which means one of them will be exiting the competition. Mm-hmm. What do you think that does for the excitement of other teams in the competition?
I was like, yes. Because it just means that one of the mid-table sides or below maybe can make the semi-final, which is always nice. It's nice to have, you know, someone a bit, you know, there's just a bit of difference in there. And also,
not
I think...
You know what I mean? Let's not go too far.
Yeah. But I also
so
think...
So it's a 7-0 final. Yeah.
Honest to God. I'm still remembering that Man City, Bristol City, Conti Cup final. God damn.
At least someone that can
So it was even Chelsea, Bristol City.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's exciting, I think, because of, obviously, we'll discuss it, but what's been going on with transfers and everything, I think... it's going to be an important game. I hope it gets picked up on beyond just iPlayer, because I think whenever Arsenal and Chelsea come together, because their fans don't like each other, I always think it's always a game of high quality, but a game where there's just a lot there's a lot at stake.
Chelsea brushed Arsenal aside in the semi-final though last year.
Yeah.
It was only 2-0, but it was just like,
and then in the final,
the season before I was there at Wembley. I was just like, oh goodness, the Arsenal fans left so quickly.
The game was the game was done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Chelsea take cups seriously.
Yeah.
In because ways they, because they can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, you know when they say like winning breeds winning?
Yeah.
They epitomize that for me. Winning just seems like second nature to them now. They don't even have to play at 100% to win.
No,
like,
yeah.
And that's even against good teams. They're winning games, yeah, against good teams without being at 100%, which is scary.
And I think also that Emma Hayes won't allow the standards to drop. She won't even, she don't allow them to drop in training. She's not going to allow them to drop on the pitch, whether you're playing the fifth tier or you're playing the team in second in the WSL. She doesn't allow those standards.
I do wonder if they achieve their goal, which is clearly they want to do better in the Champions League, if they're putting more focus into that, what that might do for the domestic cups.
That I do agree with, to be honest.
They still have cover.
But they still have so much
cover. They still got cover.
I'm trying.
They got internationals sitting on the bench, like hoping for a sniff at a cup. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And like we said, they're playing, what, 2 Conti Cup games to get to the final?
Yeah.
Come on.
But imagine if they do like a, you know, Man City men's where it's like, they win everything else, but they just can't. They just can't do it in the Champions League.
Well, I know Chelsea fans will be dreading the idea of that. And Lauren, as you know, you touched on it so much, I think it's only right for us to segue into transfers. Like, so last time we did the pods, we were talking about transfers, we were talking about Beth England. Beth England had gone through by then.
It was that day
had gone through. Villa had made their signings.
Yeah.
And since then,
I think that's what we thought that was going to be the biggest probably discussion and talking point at the window.
Then United have made 2 signings, 3 signings. United have made 3 signings. 1 on loan and 2 buys. Have you guys made any more signings since then?
No, I think we're done, but it's enough.
And Everton?
No.
I mean, yeah. So United have made signings in the midfield position times 2. Estelle Cascarino from PSG on loan. And then Jade Rivera at fullback. So she's recovering from injury. And then we bought someone else, a Norwegian midfielder, who I haven't actually seen yet, but everyone says she's good. Mm. So, you know me, I'll give whoever, like, I've not seen her before, but if they say she's good, I'm guessing. Do you guys feel like your respective team should have bought or should have looked to strengthen a particular position in the window and didn't? Marva, we'll start with you.
I think we could have done with another option up front to challenge Snow East. Mm-hmm. But to be fair to her, she's been in quite good form recently as well.
She has.
And I think it's not that we're lacking in attacking options across like the front 3, depending on what formation we play. It's more just that actual centre forward focal point.
Yeah.
So I think having another option there, and then especially obviously because Gio went back to Arsenal, cheers for that Arsenal. having another attacking option, especially if we were to, but then we've got Nikki back, so we'll see. But I think we could have strengthened, but it also wasn't like
the end of the world.
Yeah, it wasn't the most desperate position, and we had so many loans as well that we couldn't really utilize that much anymore. So I'd prefer us to actually think ahead to summer, see what happens with our loan signings, if any of them become permanent, and then plan for that rather than do any sort of panic buy now just because we're trying to get someone in.
Are there any people that you have in your team on loan that you would like to make permanent?
I mean, Park, like 100%.
What has just Park brought to that Everton side for you?
Literally everything. Like a level of quality that we didn't have last season. And I think it's helped. I mean, I think also just in terms of someone like Benison, who we touched on last season as well, saying that she's clearly got a lot of talent, but she's still very young.
Mm-hmm.
Still will take her a minute to adapt. And now the season she has, but I think it's helped massively by having other talent around. And especially in this formation that Sorensen is playing, to have young players who want to drive forward, who want possession, because when you play such possession based football, when you don't have brave players, what mm-hmm. it can end up being is just you're passing from side to side, side to side, and then you try and put in some crosses, but nothing really happens.
Yeah.
And what we're starting to see, especially even in the last sort of month or so, even more so than the beginning of the season, is once the ball gets into Benison, once the ball gets into Park, they drive with it. They're yeah. willing to take, even it's Gabby George, even yeah, Aggie Beaver Jones, really like they're getting more confident, and you need players in that system to just go for it. And it's what they're doing. And I think it's just, again, it's that, it's the knock-on effect. It's like, if you see, it's like what we said with Villa, when you see a level of talent come into the club,
mm-hmm.
other players are willing to sign there. And I think if Park was to stay, not only would it be incredible in terms of our starting 11 quality, but I think that's a real statement.
Yeah.
I don't think she will stay, but well, yeah. but you never know.
Just putting it out there in the
universe. Yeah. You never know. And then yeah, Beav Jones has been good recently as well.
She is.
So
she's a good young talent.
Mm. Yeah,
you got a lot of good young talents, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
Definitely. And I think if we can build on that and get some, get a few more in that complement that, and I think compared to sort of the last few seasons and when we've had the sort of Christensen's and Duggan's, and they bring something to the club, of course, and their experience, you need some level of experience, mm-hmm. but I think we were just getting to the point where there wasn't that real fresh talent,
yeah.
young talent that was driving the club.
Yeah.
It was either you were too young
yeah.
and sort of trying but not experienced enough, whereas now it's the young talent that are driving the club as well, so hopefully that continues.
Okay, mm-hmm. And Lauren, were there any positions that obviously you guys did strengthen, but were there any positions you feel like the club could have strengthened in further, or were you quite happy?
I wanted a new defender and a new centre-half. I think, don't get me wrong, Beth England and Iwabuchi improve our starting 11 and watching us, you know, even someone like Celine Bizet, she's not French, she's Norwegian, it's probably Bizet. She came in the summer and from PSG, and people always talk about, they're going to talk about our big signings, but she's been fantastic. She's technically, she's really good, mm-hmm. and she's only going to get stronger. But I look and at our defence, and I think all that niceness that we're going to be doing in attack, we're conceding too many goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I watch Molly Bartrop but more so Shalina Sadorsky, they're just not as good in possession as I would like. And I think we give the ball away with a lot of inaccurate passes when we're trying to play from the back. And I just need, it just, you know, we switch off. I think they switch off too
a lot
much.
Of errors.
Yeah, sure. Too many errors. And yeah. I think, but equally, it was a window where we were only going to make signings to improve the starting 11. Yeah. So I'm happy we didn't just panic buy and bring a squad player or someone who's actually not going to push them. But I think it's a position that we need to address, because there's no point, you know, looking like a Ferrari at the front now. But then, you know, like you've got like a Fiat 500 at the back. Sorry, if anyone drives those. But yeah, we just need a bit more quality. Because when you obviously have the last game I watched was Chelsea Spurs. When you look at Millie Bright and how aggressive she is, the leadership that she gives, but also, you know, if you're Lauren James or if you're Sam Kerr, you see the ball at Millie Bright's feet and you're chipping, you're going.
Millie Bright?
Yeah. So watching Millie Bright Spurs Chelsea, she's aggressive, she's a leader, she's so clinical in her defence, in her defending. When she needs to be no nonsense, she'll be no nonsense. But when she gets on the ball, if you're Lauren James, if you're Sam Kerr, if you're Guru Wrighton, you're going to sprint and make those runs in behind, because you know that she will find you. And she's so critical into how Chelsea kind of build from the back. And I look at us and in our centre halves, and I just think we don't build in the correct way.
Mm-hmm.
And until kind of January with Iwabuchi coming in, we didn't really have people in midfield who were going to keep hold of possession either. So I think we get pressed really easily, and I think just like an upgrade in terms of better.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The concentration, more quality, I would have liked to have seen. But equally, we shouldn't, like you might, no point buying for buying's sake. Mm-hmm. So if you can't fix it now, then, you know, be patient and wait till the summer. But mm-hmm. yeah, that's, I just want to see that. Every other kind of area of the pitch is kind of, we've had a little upgrade, but we just haven't done it there yet. So
do you think you'll get Iwobuchi on the permanent? Do you have the money to? They spent all their budget on Beverly Hills.
The money's done. I hope so. Like, do you know what? Because that woman has been looked so miserable.
If I speak,
like, yeah, you could just see her down in the dumps coming up.
Arsenal dragged her soul through the mud.
Yeah,
I'm
and
so sorry.
You know, she's just
free
looked,
manor.
She just looked happy. You know, we're there, we're singing her name, she's playing, and mm-hmm. and I think what would be the point in going back to Arsenal just to mm-hmm. go and sit on the bench again, because clearly
she's going back to Arsenal.
But then I also think if she wants to stay in the WSL, we are okay, our form hasn't been great, but we're a good option in terms mm-hmm. of she doesn't have to move her life around. So mm-hmm. I hope we make it permanent, because I think there's a home for her, and she's the star of our team. Mm-hmm. And I think beg her if I ever meet her, please stay. But she makes such a difference, and I think she's got fans now who, not actually, I wouldn't say that the Arsenal fans didn't appreciate her, that she had a manager that didn't. So yeah, fingers crossed. I would make it permanent now just based off the first two games, so we'll see.
Okay, we're halfway through, so that is part one of the show. It would be wrong of me in part two to not start off, however, with some of the more surprising things that have come out of this transfer window. Well, surprising maybe to some, surprising maybe not to others. The first one I'm going to start with was Chelsea allegedly bidding for Katie McCabe. Marva, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm glad it didn't happen. I am, because I think, come on, Chelsea. Like, the audacity, do you know what I mean?
Be for real.
You don't have enough players. You don't have enough good players sitting there that you have to take it off of your, like, one rivals. Yeah. No offense, Mario.
Marva's been saying some stuff in the chat here, but I've been airing it. I said, let me not bite. I'm not going to bite. But this is the second time now, yeah? But you know what, Marva, just explain yourself.
For once, I'm saying that you're not a title rival. That's what you want, right? Whenever I bring up that you are a title rival, you tell me not to say
we're
it.
We're not title rivals yet, but
you want to be considered.
I can't name not being there. Like.
All right. Well, they're one out of two rivals.
Yeah. Three.
it's just like, oh, come on, man, come on. I want to see some competition in the league, especially where Arsenal are at right now. I know McCabe isn't starting that regularly. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes they play her as a winger rather than a fullback. Mm-hmm. But I just think with the players that have left Arsenal, they're not saying they would, you know, chuck her in at CDM all the time or anything like that, but it's the way that Arsenal play and the numbers that they need in that midfield. Mm-hmm. There's no extra creative options right now, and they do use McCabe when needed, and obviously she's also just that backbone of Arsenal Football Club, metaphorically and symbolically, even if she's not playing every game anymore. So I just think, like, come on, Chelsea, man, you can't pick anyone else.
Do you feel like it was a legit attempt, Lauren?
I think the attempt's legit. I think it, for me, it makes sense because when you look at that Chelsea team at the this season, it's kind of been like Magdalena Eriksson playing there, or it's been Jess Carter, but those players on the left-hand side don't allow Chelsea to do that hybrid wing-back defensive system that they do, because they're defensive players. They're not as good going forward, for example, if they've got Perisic or Nee Charles on the right, playing off the right. So I get it, and I get also, you know, there's the rumours floating around that Eriksson and Pernille Harder may be moving. So again, McCabe would bring leadership into that Chelsea squad. I think I've also seen an interview that she was a childhood Chelsea fan because of Damien Duff. So I again, it kind of makes sense. But equally, Arsenal are absolutely right to reject it. You cannot sell a player to your direct rival, the club that has been taking your WSL title away from you, and go and give them one of the most critical players in your squad, not just for their performances on the pitch, because, okay, McCabe's not popping up with all of the goals that she has been this season, but last season she was in the team of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody can go online and look at the comps and just see all the bangers that she scores. But she's an important person in that dressing room. And she understands, you know, when you bring in all of these young players from abroad, you need to have players in your squad that understand what it, you know, takes to play for the Arsenal. she's so important. So I think they've got to reject it. I can see why Chelsea, and it must be really unsettling, obviously as a squad, but yeah, but this is the problem with Chelsea, is that they just have the ability to cherry pick, you know, really important players from other teams, and that's why they have sustained success. But I'm happy it didn't happen, because as a neutral, but because I hate both clubs technically, but
neutral, you know, hating,
as a mutual hater for the competitiveness that I hope that we see three teams take it to the wire for the league. I don't want to see the swapping of players between those teams, which may disrupt.
Look how proud.
Yeah,
you said three teams. You can say which three teams.
I said three. I'm Manchester United. I'm putting them in there.
Lauren, both you and Marva have said you understand why Arsenal would not allow such, you understand why Arsenal would be angry that they even attempted to take a fellow title rivals, one of their key players, out of their team. So you understand that both, yeah?
Of course.
So why then did Arsenal begin to write numerous checks, for United's player of the season last season?
It's a dog eat dog world.
There's no loyalty.
Well, there. What?
Boy,
oh, wait, I don't know if it was.
Yeah, we don't even know.
Loyalty,
we don't even
know. It was out of.
So that's a very good question. But like, yeah. So we have to talk about that. Obviously, it's funny because we have actually spoken before about on the pod about Russo, and saying that it would make sense for Arsenal to attempt to grab her. Obviously, with Beth Mead and Viv out, and Black Stinius, not necessarily.
But we were sort of talking about it more in summer.
They're greedy. They're cheeky. They're very, 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 very cheeky for attempting to do it now. Yeah. And I feel like it's a test. This was a test for United to say, how much of a loser are you? And United decided to say, you know what? Normally we are losers, and normally we fiend for cash. But you know what?
We're not doing it this time.
What do you think it would have told the league? And in fact, not even just the league. What do you think it would have told the players in the squad, if United would have sold Russo, Marva, to Arsenal?
Yeah, it would have been very demoralising. In the same way, everything we've just said about McCabe leaving, Russo is poster girl for United. Maybe her and Toon, but, you know, especially...
If he's also her best friend.
Exactly.
They said, F that friendship, bring that girl to the Arsenal.
It's a selling point. It is, she gets your goals. She's the face of United. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it would have been huge. And also just in the context of this season, this is, if you don't get top three now, I don't know when you're going to. But it's a bit of a risk, because I think now... you're going to get to summer. She can go if she wants to go.
Yeah.
You ain't going to get your nice 500K for it.
Yep.
To reinvest into different players. And also...
she could still go Arsenal.
She could still go Arsenal.
Boy, yep.
But then she could
and
Chelsea.
You also still could not get top three.
I agree.
So then what? But like you're saying, it's,
but she'll be part of that, by the way.
She'll be part
people
of it.
Shall run. Mm-hmm. People in the team right now, yeah, are trying to run. If we get to the end of the season and United has
you're
not
saying
got
I'm
top
looking
three,
at you,
and
you're part of the problem.
You're all part of it. Yeah. Like, I feel like sometimes, yeah, players absolve themselves of the
of the
responsibility. Because right now, yeah, I get it. Because me too, I'm blaming Mark Skinner. If don't get me wrong, yeah, if we don't get it, the first person I'm blaming is Mark Skinner. But secondly, the players also would have bottled it.
Mm. Completely.
Well and truly.
Yeah, but I think, like you said, though, it's still, even though it's a risk, mm-hmm. it is a risk that signifies your ambition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you're saying, we're going to get top three.
Yeah.
We're going to get top three.
We're in a title race, not just top three. We're in a title race.
We're going to get top three and we're going to be such a big proposition for Russo that she's not going to want to leave and we're going to give her a new contract. That's what Man United are saying
right
now.
You have to. Honestly, if it was 1 million, if it was 1 million, 2 million, reject that bid. You have to show you're not. For me,
in the grand scheme of things, what is 500k to you? What's 500k to United? It's not what we think it is. Do you know what I mean?
They will reinvest, you know, whether Russo stays or not, they will invest in that squad regardless. But you cannot, because it's two things. It's not, okay, so your poster player, your star player just starts to leave when you're in the middle of achieving something that you've never achieved before. Mm-hmm. But then you've got the second part of actually, and she's gone to a club that you're competing against. Mm-hmm. You cannot do that. And I'm so happy it was rejected. Arsenal were very cheeky for putting that bid in.
I need her to dunk on her head tops. I've got one more in me for Arsenal.
Let me tell you. What can I say, though? If Arsenal were really about it, in terms of the cheekiness, mm-hmm. I would have played that card so much earlier on in the transfer
window. Exactly.
And mess with their head. But that would mess with Russo's head. That would mess with United's head.
They were looking at other... The thing is this year, they were actually looking at other people. The other people's deals then fell down and they were like, you know what? Chaos. You know what? I don't give a damn. Chaos. And I feel like they were even encouraged to do the chaos because chaos had been imparted on them through the McCabe thing. They were like, oh, is that how we're all rolling right now?
Yeah, that's us. Chelsea being messy, we're going to be messy as well.
We're all fine. That's fine.
But to ask you a question about what it would have done to the squad, if that happened, if I'm on a Batier, I'm calling my agent, hello, send me to Barcelona.
I'll even take her to the airport myself, because at that point, you're embarrassing.
Because how does Mark Skinner go and say, well, our best player has left.
I'll blame him.
But we're still going to try and achieve our targets. How do you even motivate?
That he doesn't play, by the way.
You can't motivate your team to do anything. They had to reject it. I think, you know, Arsenal are in trouble because, you know, they've left it too late. So it's okay. They haven't been able to really finalise a deal for anyone else. Because the international deadline is still open. They need goals because Blackstenius is a good striker, but she's not a 20 goal a season striker. Mm-hmm. And where are the assists? Because that's also what Beth Mead contributed as well. But yeah, for me, I'm happy as a mutual hater / neutral. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got this far into the season with being level on points. Let's fight
keep
to the
going.
Finish.
See, they're trying to make an uneven playing field. I'm not with that. Let's go. Yeah. How we
Russo can still stay.
Let's go. Do you know what I mean?
I honestly think if United get top three,
I'm not sure.
Maybe she stays.
I think our only chance is if she stays, and even then, who knows? But what I will say is, if we get top three and she goes, goes with my blessing. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
she's done her.
Goes with my blessing if she doesn't go to Arsenal. Because I'll still
if I'm her, Chelsea strengthens Arsenal, but also
why do you like? Obviously, Arsenal is a lot in the women's game. Arsenal's a lot bigger than United. Yeah, don't get me wrong, but
I don't think
why do you go to the team that's why do you want to go to the team that you dunk on first of all? Yeah, since she's been in the side, I'm pretty sure we've only lost to Arsenal once. Yeah, in like four games, we probably lost them once. You dunk on them, and the same way we don't win trophies.
That's the thing. If I'm her, go to Chelsea.
She becomes the difference. I think the thought is that she becomes the difference maker to make them get, which I get.
I get, but then I also think what you're saying about like Arsenal being a bigger club in terms of the women's game, it doesn't take a lot to change that. Like you saw it with City. It was, took a few years of investment. They were one of the biggest clubs in the women's game. The women's game is so early on in the grand scheme of things. It doesn't take a lot to change that. You need one title, essentially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It can change like that. So.
And that's not even including And also, Leon.
I think Man United, like even Cascarino is a big signing. I think they're bringing in.
Did you just did it lightly?
I think you guys are only like two windows away from being a better side than Arsenal.
I think United have gone toe to toe. With the top two teams, with arguably the worst team out of the out of the three, and again, this is Manchester United. This is a brand. Like, okay, in women's football, it's still developing, but there's still the pull for people who children would have been like, oh my god, it's Manchester United. Yeah. So I still think that regardless of whether Russo stays or not, you're gonna bring in good players in the summer because now you've shown that you're there ready to compete. Okay, if you finish fourth, fine. But it's not a case of you finish fourth, but you were way off third. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tight regardless. So, yeah, I don't know. Personally, if I'm Russo, I'm waiting to the summer. All of my options would be open. Yeah. And then if I am going to make a WSL move, I'm going to move to the club which guarantees me at least one domestic trophy every season. Mm. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not Arsenal. But they keep, when you've got Miedema and Beth Mead and all these people in your side and Leo Williamson, you're still not really getting over the line because you've got the Chelsea super team, you know, maybe you have to just join the ship rather than trying to fight it. But hey-ho.
Okay, guys, we have to stop it there, but obviously we could have gone on and on and on because you know what? The league has been so interesting so far this season that we can just talk constantly about it. But I'm going to call it there. Hopefully, like, obviously, whilst we recorded this, these were the transfers that had happened. If anything happens post this, like, that's not our problem nor fault. But yeah, once again, follow the Gold Digger socials. So Gold Diggers UK on Twitter, Gold Diggers UK _ on Instagram. And then once again, to my left has been
Marva at Marva MSK,
Lauren at Lauren Coys,
and I have been Moyo at Moyo's Laboratory. Thanks.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.